Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who's also the co-author of Heavy Lifting, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. All bad martinis today as we head into the weekend and a holiday week. And Jim, it's just the way the news goes sometimes. So let's start with the first bad martini. And what was good news yesterday, of course, is that the House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved legislation that said there needs to be a pause on the bringing in of Syrian refugees until there can be greater assurance that each person coming in is not a threat to our national security. And many conservatives have been pointing out comments made by FBI Director James Comey in recent testimony on Capitol Hill that for a lot of these people, there's just no information. Obviously, the record system in Syria is in shambles. We don't have a lot of these people even with any papers on them. And if they do, it's very hard to verify that they're accurate. And it's just hard to know anything beyond their name, if we even know that in many cases. But curiously, in response to the House vote yesterday, CNN's Evan Perez reporting that Jim Comey not very happy with this legislation because he says there's not much more the FBI can do.
We are told that Comey has expressed this view to the administration officials and some members of Congress who have asked for his views. And he simply is saying that this requirement where he would have to personally sign off on every individual refugee coming from Syria and Iraq is just frankly impossible. The issue here is that there's always risk in allowing anyone, any foreigner into this country.
And so, Jim, obviously, there's never a foolproof system, especially when you're dealing with that many people. But when you're dealing with so many blank slates, making sure a little more than we are currently isn't a good idea.
What I don't get, Greg, Comey could say, look, is Obama held personally responsible for the Affordable Care Act? Is Kathleen Sebelius held responsible for healthcare.gov? Is the head of the Veterans Administration held? Is Lois Lerner held accountable for the IRS? When is it fair to expect government officials to be held accountable for the decisions they make and the outcomes of the policies they enact? Come on, Greg. That's just not fair. If I'm a member of Congress, I look at that statement and say, oh, well, if you can't assure me that the person coming through here isn't a terrorist, then they shouldn't come in. To me, the default setting should be you don't come in. And once you prove that you're not a terrorist, you prove there's nothing in your background, we've seen nothing to indicate there's anything dangerous about this person, okay, come on in. You're a poor little refugee. Come on in. What I don't get is that there's blank spaces. There's a question mark. There's things we just don't know. Like, to me, that's, well, in that case, no. Unless you can prove the person's a terrorist, you don't let them in. And it just seems like the other way around, which just strikes me as depressing and I think very revealing, right? If Comey had faith in the system, he'd say he has faith in the system. And he said this and testify last month, no, we can't check out these people, which is like the whole point of people saying, oh, they're going to be vetted. They're going to be vetted. The administration that can't protect its most important secrets at the Office of Personnel Management, I just don't trust to do effective background checks. I mean, all of the 9/11 hijackers came in the country legally, Greg. We couldn't vet them then. Why should we have great faith we're going to be able to vet them now? Anyway, that's my rant.
That's a good rant. All right.
It's the good rant.
On to the...
Coming up next to the bad and crazy rants.
Yeah, well, they're all kind of bad today. Hillary Clinton yesterday speaking before the Council on Foreign Relations, and she was talking about what she believes is necessary to defeat ISIS. And she had one quote here that's getting a lot of attention today, and it's basically her saying that Muslims have nothing to do with terrorism. Here's the full context.
We are in a contest of ideas against an ideology of hate, and we have to win. Let's be clear, though. Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. The obsession in some quarters with a clash of civilization or repeating the specific words radical Islamic terrorism isn't just a distraction. It gives these criminals, these murderers, more standing than they deserve. It actually plays into their hands by alienating partners we need by our side.
Jim, first of all, Ted Cruz has to be loving this week because both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are calling him out for things he's had to say about the issue this week. But Hillary Clinton going out there and saying Muslims have nothing to do with terrorism, while many of them don't, much of the terrorism being done has something to do with Muslim.
Yeah, I was going to say, so here's my first, the second craziest thing she says in that segment there, Greg, repeating the specific words radical Islamic terrorism is a distraction. Is it like, distraction from what? You know, are they radical? Yes. Are they Islamic? Unless you have this, you know, no true Scotsman fallacy, that like the moment some Muslim does something terroristic, they stop being Muslims. We can contend that. Thankfully, there are some Muslims who contend this, but the terrorists themselves still see themselves as Muslims. And sadly, there's a good chunk of the Muslim world that doesn't say, oh, they're not Muslims anymore. It'd be a much easier and better world if they did think this. But this is not a necessarily popular majority view amongst the Muslim world. They don't necessarily think that terrorists who identify as Muslim are not Muslim. Terrorism, calling it, you know, remember we had to pull teeth to get them to call the Benghazi attack terrorism. Like this is very specific. And one of the reasons we on the right are so distrustful of our counterparts on the left is that we feel that if you don't see the problem accurately, if you can't talk about the problem accurately and clearly, then you're not actually going to deal with the problem correctly. That if you keep hiding behind euphemisms, you're going to this. Now, early today, there's been discussion about whether, you know, Donald Trump's discussion in response to an MSNBC reporter, he appeared to suggest he was at least open to the idea, if not endorsing the idea of registering all Muslims with the government. Greg, I don't know about you. I think he may have gotten the idea from the X-Men, the Mutant Registration Act, which is debated by Senator Kelly. So that's I think, you know, a good starting point for these discussions. Yeah, whether or not Trump actually said that, I think it's pretty obvious there are giant constitutional problems there. And I don't think it necessarily would be very helpful in the war against terrorism if every Muslim had to register with the government. But having said that, Hillary declaring Muslims have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism is just flat wrong and stupid and just blind, right? I mean, like, you know, because I was going to go down the list, and this is kind of foreshadowing a forthcoming, you know, probably corner post, Greg. What's the common threat amongst, or the common thread, I should say, amongst ISIS, Al-Qaeda? You know, they don't get along. They actually don't, you know, they're not on the same team, at least in their minds. Boko Haram, which is committing a terrible attack, you know, as we speak. The Taliban, which protected Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. The Khorasan group. The Haqqani group. The Al-Nusra Front in Syria. Hezbollah, Hamas, right? I mean, these are all different groups, all terrorists, but they all have one thing in common, that the vast majority, if not all of their membership, are Muslims, which is not to say you should say, oh, go around and beat up the Muslim family down the street or do anything jerkish and obnoxious and criminal like that. But can we at least acknowledge that the Muslim faith, something in it is making perfectly comfortable saying we're acting in the name of our faith? I mean, Hillary's statement is Islam has nothing to do with the Islamic State. Well, it's right there in the name. We can argue about whether they represent true Islam or authentic Islam or things like that. There are a lot of people going to say we as outsiders to the Muslim faith don't really have the authority to say, no, you're not a true Muslim. But what's more, these groups say, no, we're doing this because of our religion. And it just seems like she's in this defensive, politically correct bubble. Greg, I would say this might be the single most politically correct thing any presidential candidate has said so far this cycle. And there's been a lot of competition for that title.
Oh, but we're not done. See, this is a double-fisted second bad martini because you know how Hillary Clinton likes to equivocate, such as in the debate last weekend where she said, this is not our fight, but we have to lead? That kind of thing?
Well, once the kind of circular thinking where you end up in this kind of conversational cul-de-sac.
All right. Well, here's again the very short clip of what we've been talking about.
Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism.
Now, about 30 seconds later, she said this.
But we still can't close our eyes to the fact that there is a distorted and dangerous stream of extremism within the Muslim world that continues to spread.
Hillary, you just told us it has nothing to do with this.
This is so when she gets to the debate stage next fall, she can say, I've always said that.
Yeah, you know, if you say enough things, you know, if you give her enough time, she'll say everything, I suppose. So, well, you know, is say anything kind of like the in-flight movie on her campaign plane?
Oh, man. Well, I know what's not the in-flight entertainment on her plane campaign as we shift to the third bad martini, because this is from Stephen Miller, your colleague over at National Review. While in Los Angeles last week for fundraising, Hillary Clinton felt like updating her humor protocols by stopping off at the famed Laugh Factory. The roster of comedians that have performed at the renowned Los Angeles venue is no laughing matter. Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Carrey, Dave Chappelle, Jay Leno, Damon Wayans, and George Carlin, to name a few. But when a former Secretary of State enters a comedy club and makes her presence known, she is apt to become as much of a target for the performers as the middle-class club-goers she is hoping to champion. And most of the stuff that's online from this, Jim, is not suitable for our podcast here. Here's comedian Greg Fitzsimmons with one of the tamer jabs at Hillary, who was in attendance that night.
Hello, Hillary. It's nice to see you. You look great. Nothing like a there's nothing like a skirt suit with shoulder pads to say I'm all woman. She looks like she's playing linebacker for TJ Maxx. It's the kind of outfit that you see, who wore it better, Caitlyn Jenner or Hillary Clinton?
So that is harsh. Trust me, other stuff is worse. There was a Monica Lewinsky material and everything else in there. Judicial Watch is reporting that Hillary's campaign now is working to have a short video of her visit removed from the Laugh Factory's website because of all that negative commentary. The Judicial Watch report is based on a statement by club founder Jamie Masada, who claims the campaign has threatened him legally if he doesn't remove the clips from the website. He's quoted as saying, "They threatened me. I have received complaints before, but never a call like this, threatening to put me out of business if I don't cut the video." Initially, he refused to do it and hung up, but Stephen Miller says later on, due to pressure, that it is now off the Laugh Factory website. We got that clip off of their YouTube site, which is still up and running from that event when Hillary was there. But Jim, talk about a staunch defender of free speech there, huh?
Gangster government at work, Greg. I just want to put a lot of G words in one sentence. I wish I could say I'm surprised by this, but I'm going to make one other example. Do you remember The Path to 9/11? It was this made-for-TV movie that aired on ABC in September 2006. And the attitude of, you know, it was pretty tough on the Clinton administration. They took some dramatic license. Right as they're having some discussion about Al-Qaeda, the footage from the drone comes in. It's an unarmed drone, and they can see a man in white walking around. That was actually two different times. And they have the Northern Alliance just about to raid bin Laden's camp and, you know, literally at the door to his hut and then being called back by the CIA. I'll grant that they took some historical liberties. Having said that, most of it was based on truth and accounts and descriptions. And it was mostly Harvey Keitel playing the gentleman who was the FBI's most obsessive gentleman involved in this, the guy who's in the centerpiece of the looming tower, John O'Neill. It was a pretty interesting, you know, well-made story about how 9/11 happened. It aired once. Reportedly, there were last-minute edits made at the request, and Senate Democrats threatened ABC, saying they would revoke the broadcast license if it went in. You want to talk about just absolutely, you don't have the right to show this, and we will punish you if you do. This is what's at the heart of Democrats. They are fundamentally illiberal, small L in their sense. They do believe the government has the right to tell you what to think, what to say, and what you can do. And we shouldn't be surprised by this. I kind of am disappointed he backed down, but, you know, we can only imagine the kind of pressure that's being come at him. And we don't know whether he's finding, you know, a dead cat like Kathleen Willey did, or what other Clintonian tactics are being applied against him. But, you know, I'm glad he's talking about it and just kind of observing the fact that these are people who believe the law doesn't apply to them, and that they can use mobster tactics if they want to intimidate people who offend them.
You still got a chance to stop this, America. Yeah. Jim, have a fantastic weekend. I will be out next week. We'll have a couple of special editions of the Three Martini Lunch, and my colleague Rich McFadden will be here to join you early next week. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
See you.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us, and tune in again on Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.